It's Tuesday, 1st of February, and it's time to get your grin on with the Grincast, here to discuss the world of gaming from the past week. I'm your host Ace, and joining me are Artura.
Hello, everyone.
Gozo Goes.
Ohayo gozaimasu.
Wrong podcast. Payslips.
Hello.
And Prince.
Hi.
Welcome on, welcome all, and I hope you've got your Ethereum wallets ready, because we're going to talk about those NFT things.
No, more NFT things?
What's an NFT?
When's the official NFT coming out?
Game Grin NFTs. I can't even joke about
Wait,
that.
Wait, NFTs? NFTs or nifty things? Because I have nifty things. Lots of nifty things. Sorry,
nifty things that you can bring to the podcast to describe to us.
I just had sugar, so if I cut someone off and don't apologize afterwards, then I'm sorry.
Pure, unrefined sugar.
Just sugar from the sugar box, sugar cup. I just ate that.
Well, it keeps you awake when you're driving late at night and start falling asleep at the wheel. Anyway, what's everyone been playing this past week? Artura, take us away.
I've been playing God of War because it released on the Steam port, and I'm finally able of actually aiming and not dying at every second. So I found out the game is not actually as impossibly difficult as I thought it was the first time around. So my general achievement that I've been going around telling everyone that I'm like, oh my god, yes, I beat the final boss in the hardest difficulty in my first try on the level, it's not that impressive anymore. And I'm a little disappointed on that.
Wait, which God of War are you playing? Like the new one or the old
Yeah,
one?
The 2018.
Okay.
The boy one.
I thought you had a follow-up question to that, Prince. Sorry.
Oh, no. I just wanted to know because there's two God of War. Well, I mean, like, there's more than two, obviously. But, I mean, like, there's two specifically named God of War, I believe. So I was like...
There's only one that got a PC port.
Yeah, there's Ares, and there's Mars, and I don't know the other gods of War. There's Egyptian one, who's called Egyptian one. He's a god of war.
I think Apollo is like one of the gods of wars. Yeah? Is that wrong? No, he might be music or the sun.
No, he's like music, the sun, poetry, future seeing.
Not war, though.
Healing. No, not war, though.
Okay, so like everything else.
Aww. Yeah, basically everything else.
He's a god of war in the Rocky franchise. Apollo. Apollo
so
Creed.
Maybe he is a god. Oh, no. Not Apollo Creed.
Okay, Goz, tell us what you've been playing.
Last week I got two early access games that are very early access, I found out. And they were pretty good. And one of them is called, what's it called? Sons of Aura, or Aura. And it's Souls-like, basically. With an isometric perspective. And it's not as punishing as a Souls-like. And with... And there's sailing in the sand. Which was a topic that we had. I wanted a boat that goes on sand, and now I do in a video game. It's a boat, and it goes on sand. And the other game is called Dream Something by a creator of some larva. Oh, hold on, I need to... It's called Dream Cycle, and it's by the creator of Lara Croft. That's it. Not Larva. I mean, if you don't like her, you can call her Larva Croft, I guess. And its main concept behind Dream Cycle is infinite adventures. And yeah, they have that, but it's still pretty early access, and it's not that great. It's a really solid game, though, and it's pretty fun.
Wait. So is it not that great, or is it a solid game?
I mean, it's solid for early access.
Ah, okay.
It's like, if it wasn't early access, I wouldn't give it the leeway. But I mean, if you go into early access, it's solid. It's a solid start, and they have lots of time to like flesh it out and whatnot.
Okay, Payslips, what about you?
I've been playing Dark Souls 1, getting myself ready for Elden Ring, and I haven't played Dark Souls 1 since I originally played it when it first came out on PC. I'm a big Dark Souls fan. I love Dark Souls 2 and 3 as well. And I forgot how hard Dark Souls 1 is compared to Dark Souls 2 and 3. Like, 2 and 3 are really easy games in comparison to Dark Souls 1.
Is it the Dark Souls of Dark Souls?
You know what? Dark Souls is the Dark Souls of Dark Souls. Dark Souls 2 is like what's a really easy game? Someone, give me an easy game. I don't know.
Tetris. Tetris is not easy at all.
Dark Souls 3 is the Tetris of Dark Souls games. Dark Souls 2 is Kirby's Dream Land of Dark Souls games. There we go.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Dark Souls 1. Very fun.
Okay, Prince, what about you?
Playing Sega and Sonic All-Stars Racing, which is fun. I like to play as Ulala from Space Channel 5. She's my chick. Oh, I love her. And then I've been exploring all those crazy Friday Night Funkin' mods out there, because I like that game, actually. It's a really cute game, and I've always been good at rhythm games. It's not really a rhythm game, because it's, like, on the vocal part, but now I know all those beep, boop, boops, so as long as I sing along, like, I don't fuck up at all. It's nice. And all the mods are so interesting, like, it's crazy. People just make their own, like, games out of this. It's awesome.
Is there Sonic in it?
I mean, there could be if you get a Sonic mod. There's a lot of Sonic mods out there, actually.
Why does Sonic need a car?
Oh, you know what? Actually, I have that issue with Sonic Team Racing. I actually do have that issue with Sonic. Like, all the Sonic racing. Why does he need a car? Like, it's the same thing with the stupid board ones. Where they're on, like, the hoverboard type things. What games is those? Sonic Riders. It's like, he doesn't need this. He doesn't.
You see, but maybe it's not because he needs it, but because he wants to have, like, a fair competition and fun.
See, I always just play as characters that aren't Sonic, because I... Well, first of all, Sonic would always want to win. I don't believe he wants the fair competition. He wants to win. He wants to be faster than everybody. It's not a race to him. It's always, like, he's the winner. Oh, number one. Sorry, he's cocky in my mind. I think he's cocky in real life, so, you know.
They made a Sonic racing game on the Sega Saturn called Sonic R, where he did run and everyone was running, and that game was really bad.
Well, make a better game.
Maybe Sonic is like, maybe driving is a bit more fun than running. So,
you know. Maybe. Oh my gosh, I don't know. I really like to play as Shadow though in Sega and Sonic All Stars Racing or whatever it is, because he legit gets a running start because he has a bike, but it is, in fact, like, if you know when to time it, he is faster on that startup because of that. Like, that's the trick. Everybody has a different time. You have to hit the button, like, on the start off, and I really appreciate that, actually, but Shadow's the easiest one to play if you figure it out, and he's the fastest because of that.
Top tips for Sonic and Sega All-Stars Racing.
Incoming.
Is Shadow on a motorbike or a bicycle? Because bicycle. A motorbike. He's on.
He's on a motorcycle. Sorry.
I just imagine him on a bicycle. Honestly, I'm not gonna stop imagining it like that anymore.
But then he'd lose because his legs don't go fast. It's his rocket shoes that make him go fast.
So are we gonna put Sonic on the bicycle instead?
Yes.
Yes.
I feel like Sonic would actually do pretty good on a bicycle, right? Because, like, a bicycle, because he's got fast legs.
Could a bicycle really hold on, though?
Oh, yeah, it might get, like, demolished or something. It's just disintegrate.
Yeah. Is Team Sonic Racing the one where you have Ryu from Shenmue driving a forklift as well?
Hi.
Is that a thing?
No, actually, because this, listen, there's like five Team Sonic Racing games. All I know is the one I was playing this week is Sonic and Sega All-Stars.
Oh, yes, it's in Sonic and Sega All-Stars Racing. They released him as a DLC character, I think. And he drives a forklift. Yeah.
Ooh. I don't have DLC.
10 out of 10 for a DLC character. Clearly. Myself, I played through Hitman 3. I finished Hitman and Hitman 2, so for the first time played through Hitman 3, and those levels are big. Like, one of them took me an hour and 15 minutes, and it's because one of the mission stories, you disguise yourself as a private investigator who's there to investigate a murder. So rather than just using that as a cover, you can actually try and solve the murder.
That's so cool.
Did you solve the murder?
I did.
Who was it?
I can't tell you that. It's giving it away.
It was
Hitman. You're right.
You were the murderer.
I mean, you were the murderer, huh?
Well, I solved the murder and then I went upstairs and murdered the person I was supposed to murder.
Was it Sonic?
Multitasking.
It was not.
It wasn't Sonic.
No.
I'm just, honestly, I'm shocked to hear that you did something good. You're usually playing, like, villains, evil guys, and here you're like, I'm going to solve this murder.
I like to investigate murders and in games, not in real life.
Does anything happen? Like, when you solved it, did anything happen? Or is it just like, you solved it?
Well, you get more points to unlock locations and equipment, and one of your objectives is to obtain a file, and solving the murder makes it easier to obtain the file. Wow. And then kick an old woman off of a ledge.
Oh.
That's the best one.
We're still talking about the game, right? Like,
Wait, speaking of games, Joe Danger for iOS.
I did make you a promise in the last podcast, remember?
No. That was last week.
No, well, it doesn't matter. I said it the next one I attended. So, who's with me? Are we going to make it really difficult for him to get segues now?
Yes.
Perfect.
That was a difficult segue, going from video game to video game.
Well, sure. Okay, I'll give you that one.
Anyway, Joe Danger, a Trials-esque game where you are a stuntman on a motorcycle and go from one side of the screen to the other side of the screen. And the entire reason why I didn't buy into No Man's Sky when Hello Games first launched it has been re-released, kind of, on iOS devices due to the game's age. It's obviously not been updated to modern iOS operating systems. So a parent of an 8-year-old reached out to Hello Games and said that their son really enjoyed it, and please could Hello Games make the game work again for iOS. So Hello Games have remastered it based on this one email. I could go into details, but the gist of it is that the kids on the autism spectrum and the way that the kid could cope with some things was by playing this one specific game. And so that's fair play to Hello Games, making the game that they made work.
When I heard the story, I was honestly so touched, because I thought it was really sweet to hear that they went through the trouble. Now, don't get me wrong. I read the email that the guy sent, and he did say that they're like, if you're not going to do it from the kindness of your heart, then do it at least for the press that you could get for it. So there's always that possibility, because, you know, companies and stuff. But it's still really nice that they did it, and I'm really glad that the little kid got to get the game, especially because it's really sad when you have read the story in depth and what they say, and the way it's portrayed is a really sad story, and it broke my heart when I first heard it, but I was just really relieved that the game actually got remastered.
You can, of course, read the tweets on GameGrin.com. We've got a new story about it named Joe Danger Remastered for an 8-year-old kid. Or you can, you know, find Sean Murray's tweets, I suppose. And
Go to GameGrin.
That's more effort. It's much easier
to
go to GameGrin.com.
That's sweet, honestly. Oh, I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No, go for it.
Oh, I was just saying that it's like really nice. Like the two things I like about it is the fact that like they actually listened to the request to like, hey, update this game. I have a little sister I take care of, actually. Her name's Lily. She's nonverbal autistic. So it's a little touching. I'm like, oh my gosh, like that's cool to see from that point of view. Because it can be hard also, like losing something like a game that, you know, I can't even imagine losing, like if Lily lost her favorite game, which it's this My Little Pony mobile app game. So someday it's like probably going to happen too, because it's just on Android. I would freak out because I wouldn't know what to do, maybe. Like, because she loves that game. And when she needs to calm down, she plays that game. So I can understand maybe how hard it was, like, especially as a parent for this person to, like, A, deal with that in the first place. Because it doesn't seem like it's significant, but something like that could ruin your world somehow. But it's also, like, from the media preservation side, because I'm such a stickler about media and preservation. I hate lost media and things that just don't work anymore because of time. I love that. I love that it's, like, been updated. It's really nice. It's a good story for everyone.
To be fair, they haven't preserved it. They've updated it with a graphical overhaul, new engine, gamepad support, better performance with optimized shaders and more.
I'm gonna count this remaster as preservation in my heart, but that's cooler that they remastered it, I think.
Yeah.
Go on.
I was gonna say the great thing is that they didn't just remaster and re-release it as a whole new app. They actually updated the original app. So if you owned it already, like it's updated. So it's not like they're churning out a new release for some more money, you know. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, especially because it didn't raise the price. It remains to be $1.99, I believe it is. And everyone that already had bought it, of course, gets just the update for free. But everyone that hadn't, it's not like they increased the price because, oh, well, we modernized it and it took a lot of effort from us. And that's really nice.
Well, Hello Games are getting quite good at updating games so that they're better than they used to be.
They have a lot of expertise in that sense.
Yeah.
Oh. And I was just thinking, it's really harsh to think. I mean, I find it difficult to let go of games that I love, because I loved games like WildStar, Grand Chase when they first were out, and they eventually got taken off the market. I was sad about it. I can imagine how it must be for someone in the spectrum when they have something that even becomes a form of comfort for them. It's really horrifying. And I'm really glad that the kid got the thing that he really liked.
Too. Like, that's the happiest ending. The kid is happy at the end. Woo!
Unfortunately, some kids in Japan can't say the same about being happy, because Sega have decided to quit the arcade business after 50 years.
No shit.
Yeah. Obviously, with the pandemic in recent years, it's probably the best time to do it, because, I mean, there's not a ton of people going to arcades, I would assume, in Japan, what with the frequent lockdowns they've been having.
This is so depressing. Like, I think the death of arcades in general is really sad, but this Sega stuff as well, because it kind of goes back to reminds me of Sega World in London at the Trocadero by Leicester Square. I remember visiting that as a kid, and oh my god, just it was like this cool little like escalator that went up to this like neon lit circle with the Sega sign, and then I had all of these like amazing arcade games, And then they closed that down, and then they had another arcade there for a while, and they closed that down now as well, because, you know, who goes to arcades anymore? But it's really sad. Like, arcades are such a cool, like, place to go, such a cool experience. And I think the slow death of the arcade is quite depressing, quite a weird change for the future.
I had actually never been able to go to an arcade because, you know, third world country, we don't really get that kind of stuff here. And they opened this place that was just centered around the 90s. It was this hamburger place. And okay, sure, they had some modern game consoles like Switch. And it was really nice because it felt really interesting to be surrounded by a bunch of gamers, especially where I live, because, again, this is just really uncommon here, gaming and all that. And it was so interesting and so heartwarming. And I never understood the beauty of arcades until I actually got to experience that myself.
The all of the arcades are going to be signed over to GIGO, which is short for Get Into the Gaming Oasis, a company which, alongside Sega, has a long history of running arcades. So at least the arcades are still going to be running, question mark. I suppose it all depends on what they decide to do with them once this deal with Sega's finished.
I'm glad that it's going. Sorry, I cut you off.
No, I was going to say something stupid. Go.
I was going to say I'm glad that like at least the arcade like at least it's going to like another arcade business. GIGO. How did you say that? I read it and then it just.
I said GIGO.
GIGO. Okay. I kept reading it like ever since we saw like the article, you know, in the chat. I've been like, how the hell do I pronounce this? Actually, since I saw a tweet like when it happened, I think I've been thinking, how do I pronounce that? And then you said it and it wasn't how I was doing it, so it confused me.
GIGO.
But I'm glad it's going to someone who actually like will still hopefully like keep them running, like the arcade, the machines and stuff. Like, I, to be honest, this whole thing's mind blowing to me. I can't believe arcades are fucking going out of business. I can't believe like no one wants to do that anymore. And it's weird because in the U.S. that's not what's fully happening. If anything, we're getting a resurgence because of anime. I mean, not anime, because of Japanese themed arcades. Like, our real arcades were, like, dying, but now these pop-up, you know, Japanese arcades that I can't even play half the machines because I can't read Japanese at all, are popping up, and it's amazing. And so it's kind of, like, almost jarring because I could think of a bunch of new ones in my state at this moment. And then, you know, you hear in Japan, Sega's shutting down theirs, and it's like, wait, what's going on? Because it's a total, like, shift. It's a different story.
Maybe they're funneling funds away from the arcade division into making the Dreamcast 2 and taking the console world by storm.
I wish.
Yeah. The Dreamcast is, I know a lot of people didn't play it or didn't like it, but it's still one of my favorite consoles. I love that.
I love the Dreamcast. Like, it's fun. It's a funky console. Like, I will always end up being like a PS1 person in heart because it was the first console I ever got. But the Dreamcast is funky. Like, it's up there on, like, consoles that definitely have a place in my heart and should have fucking done better in the world and then didn't. And it has some of the best games for the time, like Space Channel 5.
Space Channel 5 is dope, yeah.
Oh, God. Like, that's what got me into, the Dreamcast, to be honest, was shit like Space Channel 5 and Jet Set Radio. Because that, you weren't seeing stuff like that. Yeah,
it was a little
crazy,
a little
Japanese stuff.
Yeah.
I'm honestly shocked to hear this because, see, Japan and all that, they have such an interesting and different culture than us. I've learned a lot about it, and from what I've heard and as far as I'm aware, arcades continue being quite massive over there. They continue being like a center point of entertainment, and it's really weird to see that Sega is doing this, and I don't actually understand why.
Well, I think part of it is a lot of arcades over there, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but from what I've seen, a lot of the arcades over there are a lot more money gambling based these days, like pachinko machines or like claw machines and stuff. Whereas it games in general, like arcade games where you just put like a dollar in nowadays, maybe. I don't know how much arcade games cost anymore. where you just put money in and you play around. You don't really see those anymore.
Well, good news. You can just put money into Blockverse NFTs. Oh, wait. No, you can't. Because they disappear.
Kind of like the arcades.
Blockverse, in case you missed this news story, was a, quote, on-chain Ethereum NFT that enables a unique play to earn on Minecraft like no other. Ownership of a token gives access to play on the unique Minecraft server, allowing for teamwork and competition. Dollar diamonds, their name for it, are generated through combat and playtime. And all 10,000 of their NFTs sold out at 0.05 Ethereum, which is over $100 each. And then some people were unhappy, so Blockverse just shut down their Discord server, shut down their website, and closed their Twitter, and that looks really suspect when you do that after making $1 million.
Kind of funny, though.
3 days later, they resurfaced on Twitter to apologize and explain that, people kept doxing them and the fees were too high and they were scared, so shut everything down, and they weren't running away with the money because it takes a lot of effort to shut down everything, and now they're having trouble restarting it because it was so difficult to shut down.
Oh my god.
It's been 4 days at this point, and their Twitter account has a statement explaining all of this, and that's their latest tweet, and there's been nothing since. The wider community has reached out to them and offered to assume control of the project and let them keep some of the Ethereum, and they will use the rest to hire people to run the project. Which means that they're still getting money, they're just not running away with everything.
I would like to mention that in their statement, near the ending, they say, "We are disappointed that the community jumped to false accusations so quickly."
Oh my god.
Like, yeah, you went AWOL, you disappeared off the face of the earth, and it's not like we haven't had this before.
Yeah.
With Cube World, for instance, when freaking Wally came out of nowhere and then just dropped the game and then came back and then dropped the game again. So, like, at this point, it's not our fault that we're getting a little jumpy when people do that. And apparently now it's disappointing that we jumped to false accusations when we weren't informed about anything.
The community has, the Blockverse community has a theory that they came back because they wanted to avoid prosecution because, as I mentioned, people were doxing them, so they knew who to send lawyers after.
That's a pretty good theory. I feel like that's what's happening. I don't think any of these people are getting their money back or getting their money. I don't really know how that whole system works. I just think it's stupid in the first place. But I don't, like, these people lost money. And maybe they deserve it, because at this point, if you don't know NFTs are bad, and if you don't know that most of these are scams anyways, it's kind of like, fucking play stupid games, get stupid prizes.
Yeah.
Well, this was a Minecraft server, so you're playing Minecraft and getting stupid prizes.
Amazing. I do love Minecraft.
There's no difference.
No!
You know what isn't?
Me, why don't you?
You know what isn't an NFT scan? The upcoming Grin NFT. Am I right?
No, stop.
Grin FT.
Oh my god! I'd actually have to quit.
Well, unfortunately, people don't seem to have been quitting Ubisoft, which a while ago launched their, well, in December, I should say, it launched their NFT platform, the Quartz platform, which basically you played some of Tom Clancy's Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon breakpoints, and you unlocked a one-of-a-kind skin or something. I don't know. I tried to take part, but it was only open to Americans. It was not available outside of America. So I couldn't see what all that was about.
Which leads us to a sponsor with NordVPN, right?
Gonna say, this is like where the Surfshark ad starts.
And speaking of surfing, you could surf on a mattress if you... But this Ubisoft Quartz brings us to a Ubisoft executive has been interviewed by an Australian site, and in the interview is quoted as saying that basically that gamers don't get it. The NFTs are for gamers. It's really beneficial, but they don't get it for now. You've got to wonder who's he speaking to, because anyone who's who is able to be swayed by NFT arguments has already been swayed and bought in. They're not going to buy in just because an Ubisoft executive said, you don't get it, you're not one of the cool kids.
And it is really basically a you're not one of the cool kids, because in the ending of the statement, he says, this is a part of the paradigm shift in gaming, and basically blames the fact that we're just not ready to change our economical viewpoint. And it's like, there's a lot of habits you need to go against. Yeah, it's like a lot of habits of getting scammed. Do I need to, you know, go back to the past? Blockverse? Anyone?
Yeah. Well, I think, like, even beyond it, it's kind of like the CEO of Ubisoft is being like, oh, it's the gamers that are wrong. And it's like, really? Like, Ubisoft, like, not necessarily to throw shade, but definitely throwing shade. Like, they haven't been in touch with gaming in a hot fucking minute, I feel like. Like, I don't know where this guy is coming from, because I'm like, you're in touch. Like, if every gamer is like, don't do this, you're the problem, not the gamers. Society. Sorry.
Well, unfortunately, more and more publishers are buying into NFTs, as shown by yesterday's Team 17 Worms NFTs. Apparently, according to a statement that they've released, this is all being done through a third party who have licensed Worms. It's not actually Team 17 themselves, but they're not exactly saying, hey, no, don't use our stuff for NFTs, are they? They're calling it Meta Worms, and it's being touted as it's not bad for the environment because we're giving money to a company that's is doing something positive for the environment, and minting 10,000 NFTs using this is the same as the entire electrical output of 11 kettles for an entire year.
I'm confused.
Basically, these NFTs are not bad for the environment, even though they are bad for the environment.
I hate that so much.
Oh, I love that. One of the measuring systems for you guys over there in Europe is kettles.
Yeah, in countries that don't have a 3-pin socket, for those of you who don't know, you can't get plug-in kettles in, for instance, America, which has its 2-pin sockets. Electrical kettles, I should say.
3-pin sockets also? Do they look different? Maybe they look different than yours. I know we do have different sockets, but we got three prongs.
Well, for general use, do you?
Yeah. Oh. I don't understand. Like, we have 3-prong socket. What?
Maybe I'm misremembering something. I do know it's to do with the electrical outputs. We have 240 volts over here, and it's 230 in America, I believe.
Okay, yeah, see, we do have different plugs and stuff, but
and the fact that it's not 240 volts means that it's that a element inside a kettle doesn't get hot enough to boil water or something along those lines.
I mean, we have electric kettles over here. Like, we have electric kettles. I'm so confused. What are you saying? We have kettles.
Then why do Americans microwave cups of tea?
I mean, I do it because it's easy. I was going to say I do use my microwave. But no, we have electric kettles and we have regular kettles. I use a kettle on my stove for hot chocolate.
A regular kettle is a plug-in kettle.
A regular kettle is a kettle you sit on your stovetop and you boil water in it. And then electric kettle is an electric kettle. And then your microwave is where tea goes because then it's only done in like 2 minutes.
It's such a hassle to boil water on a hob. Whenever I boil water for rice or pasta or anything, it takes forever.
When you microwave tea, do you leave the tea bag in or do you?
What I do is I put the tea bag in the water and then I just put it in my microwave for 2 to 3 minutes. And that way it seeps and cooks at the same time. And then I'm done.
I'm going to have to quit the podcast. This is.
What does tea bag explode?
Like the other way to do tea is you put the kettle on the fire. It takes like fucking 5 minutes. It's not even time. And you just pour it in after, and then you let it seep, which is where the time comes. I hate doing that part.
5 minutes. It takes 30 seconds to boil a kettle.
What are you talking about? What?
Maybe in your 2-pin system it takes 5 minutes, but on our great British system, it's power a fire. Grid.
It's a fucking fire!
Wait, you make a campfire and then you put a kettle on it?
No, I put the damn kettle on the stove!
No, that's how us third world country people do it.
You have campfire in your house?
Stop! I do have a, I do actually have a, specifically like one of those fire stove things that, it's not a fireplace, but it's like, I don't remember the word, it's just a stove, like a wood stove, a wood oven! I have a wood oven. But I also have a normal one.
Why do you have two ovens and two kettles and oh my god?
Well, one's a fireplace, you know, which is the wood stove.
Your house is an NFT in itself.
Stop, don't. I actually
is it a fireplace or is it a stove?
I live
can't
in a
be both.
Cabin.
Wow, the carbon footprint. Do you boil all of them at once?
You're minting NFTs every time you make a cup of tea, basically.
Shit.
With what? I'm not even using electricity.
Oh, do you get on a bike and then when you pedal,
fire.
Everything works.
It's a fire. Oh, it's a gas stove. I use a gas stove.
Well, speaking of fires, this Team 17 thing that we were talking about, studios that were that have been previously affiliated with Team 17 have basically come out and said, we're not doing NFTs, we don't agree with NFTs, and Aggro Crab Games have literally called out Team 17 with a tweet image saying, we at Aggro Crab condemn Team 17's decision to produce and engage with NFTs. Playtonic, which previously released Ukulele with Team 17, released a similar image tweet. They didn't specifically mention Team 17, but it was in the aftermath of Team 17's third-party reveal that they're doing NFTs. Because the Team 17 Twitter account, I don't think they've actually mentioned this themselves. I know people are taking to Twitter and having a go at the community manager who runs the Team 17 Twitter account, which is not cool. Do not do that, people. Because the community manager is the last person who had anything to say in this NFT thing.
It's just really sad to see how many companies are just like, yes, we're doing NFTs. I mean, everyone, actually, if I'm not wrong. I mean, they didn't... Oh, my gosh, I almost called him Jack Sparrow. Didn't Johnny Depp say something about doing NFTs as well? Like, it's taking over the world.
That hurts. He seems like he would, but I didn't want him to.
This is a tale about Jack Sparrow's NFTs.
Lonely Island reference.
I heard that Troy Baker, was it Troy Baker? Yeah, Troy Baker stopped doing the NFT thing.
Oh, after. I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, he went back on it. I think it's mostly because the people he was working on making NFTs with, like, their whole goal was literally to automate the voice acting industry, which would quite literally destroy it. And I think he finally realized that after reading. But yeah, he went back on it, like, 2 days ago?
Let's face it, we're all sick of Troy Baker's voice as well, aren't we? Like, he's an F.
Well, yeah, you could just, like, hire Matthew Mercer.
Oh, yeah, Matthew Mercer or Troy Baker, you know. The two, only Ace's two best friend. Voice actors.
Yeah, my best friend, Nolan North.
Oh, yeah, the three voice actors.
If you want to hear about that whole Troy Baker, when the news first dropped, go back to episode 335, the Friends List app, I believe.
Good memory.
Where we spoke about it.
Or he has it written down and he's pretending he has a good memory.
Yeah, like it's cataloged.
Yes, the show notes say NFT voice company steals voice to get people to buy a voice. And we talked about Troy Baker as well because that was the same company.
Mm-hmm. I was just really shocked to hear that you'd be stupid enough to, you know, basically try to run himself off of business, especially because voice actors already have it hard enough with people like Chris Pratt becoming Mario.
And Troy Baker taking all the roles.
And that, yeah.
I feel like he doesn't do that as much anymore. Like, back in, like, 2013, he was, like, every fucking character ever. But, like, I feel like he dropped off a little.
What's Troy Baker, Mario?
Or he priced himself out.
Yeah, that could be it, too. I bet he got a big head. I mean, he's doing NFTs and shit. He seems like he... Like, no offense to him, but from what I've heard and from what I've seen, I bet he's cocky as hell. And, like, he's got a good voice.
I've seen something something along those lines on Twitter, yeah.
Yeah.
I saw that he did apparently some quite problematic behavior when he was auditioning for the Joker, I think, for the Arkham games. Like, he actually was being, like, really kind of uncomfortably creepy with the casting director or something. He got into character and wouldn't break character.
See, I hate that. But I'm also like, this is the Joker. Like, it's like, I feel like everyone does that when they audition for the Joker. So I can't actually hold that against him. But I'm also like, I can hold that against him.
you can call Troy Baker a creep while calling Jared Leto a creep. That's fine. You can call
him a creep. Jared Leto is 100% a creep.
Jared Leto literally runs a cult and no one talks about it. Like, do you know how crazy that is to me? He owns an island, and as a fan of his, you can pay to serve him on that island where he walks around pretending to be Jesus. I'm not joking. His whole there's a website for it. Like, he openly advertises this shit.
Yeah, it's gross.
No one cares.
I want to do that.
The problem is that
Jesus.
Okay, but don't we all?
But what's the problem?
The problem is that if it was really like if no one really cared, unfortunately, it wouldn't exist. And yet here we are, and here he is.
Yeah, people care. They just want to be a part of it. They want to serve Jared Leto while he walks around pretending Jesus. Like, I just don't get it. I don't get it.
Well, on topic of the whole, you know, everyone that acts like Joker stays in character, who votes that Ace acts as Joker for a while?
Oh my god, Ace, are you ready to give us your best Joker impression?
It's the Joker, baby.
Well, it would depend on which Joker you wanted me to be.
Mark Hamill.
Oh my god, I wasn't ready.
I love it.
Sorry.
Of all the things I expected to dare Ace to do, I never thought he'd actually take this.
Well, I have done voices in in abridged things before, such as abridged things on my personal YouTube channel. But we're not here to talk about abridging unless my main topic for this podcast
is your YouTube channel.
Based on all of these NFTs and we don't get NFTs, and I just couldn't think of anything other than, what the hell is wrong with game execs? Why are they such money grubbing shits?
Honestly, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, because gaming is a business.
I think we're just letting a lot of gaming executives get away with what they do. I mean, people like Bobby Kotick continue to be CEOs. We continue supporting companies that are clearly and blatantly doing things that are very predatory. And we continue allowing things like loot boxes to exist despite the fact that they were outruled for a while. So I think this is kind of our fault at this point. We don't really crucify them as much. I'm just expecting for Team 17 to pick up and then just continue on as regularly scheduled.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of, part of it is, I can't deny that a lot of these companies make some really good fucking games. And I know that's horrible to say, but sometimes you just kind of ignore everything going on because you want to like pop in Crash Bandicoot for a little bit. Like that. It's like you don't want to like think about all of that while you're playing the game. And unfortunately, with the NFT thing, a lot of these CEOs know that this is something no one is going to stop playing games over. It's kind of like Square Enix is getting into that NFT game, or at least they're trying to figure out how to. And it's like, you can't ask every Final Fantasy fan to stop playing Final Fantasy, especially when there's like multiple games coming out soon. So they know they could get away with it because it's not going to matter to them.
Yeah, exactly. And I can only assume that maybe controlled controversy works for them in the end, because they, I don't know, maybe they go into NFTs and they say, oh, we screwed up, we're sorry, and suddenly they're just the angels of the gaming companies, and oh, look, they're so good and so kind, and thank God that they're listening. And
then, if they listen, it's this whole, oh my God, they listen to us, you know, best gaming company, and then suddenly they get more support than ever. And yeah. It's like you gotta create the NFT just to go back on the NFT for that attention at this point too.
Yeah, so at this point, I think it's just become a loss-loss scenario in which if we boycott them, it's not really going to do much because we've let them get away with so much. And I think that's just overall what the hell is wrong with them. It's just us. We've let them get away with too much, and now they're used to being able to get away with anything.
Maybe it's a conspiracy, like, you know, with a Sonic movie with the designer Sonic, the conspiracy is that the original designer Sonic that they did was always meant to cause a huge backlash to drum up publicity, and that the finalized design for him was actually the design they always wanted to do for him anyway. So maybe the NFT
wants to believe that, because yeah, like it was publicity. A bad design, and it is the reason I went to see the movie, was because they fixed the design, and I was like, let's see how
Me too. But when they fixed it, like, I was like, I'm supporting that.
But I'm also like, I, from what I heard, I believe the animation team had to put in crunch because of that move, and it was not a good move. So I don't think like it was on purpose, but I could see companies seeing that and then doing their own versions of that.
Yeah, it just feels like the worst we do is give them a slap in the wrist, and the best they can get is just a lot of love and support. And that's like, that's horrible, because we don't really get to get our victory. They just win regardless. If we try to boycott them, we're cutting ourselves of wonderful games, and people are continuing playing those games anyway. And if we do don't boycott them, then we're just supporting and endorsing these decisions of theirs.
Yeah. Fuck. Oh, I hate that. Like, it's like we're just openly like out here, like there's no way to solve the NFT game problem. And it sucks, because I can't think of any way to solve it. Like, legit. Like, maybe we can't solve the issue. These people suck. Ugh.
I think one of the questions I want to ask you guys is, do you think NFTs will become inevitably part of gaming? And if so, will they eventually find a part that they belong in? Something like loot boxes, for instance. I'm pretty sure they were pretty controversial originally.
I'm hoping that these are so controversial that they die out.
Me too.
They'll probably work.
Don't say that.
The thing with loot boxes and DLC and season passes and battle passes, that those were all accessible to people at a low price range.
Yeah.
Whereas NFTs, those block whatevers I was talking about, those are over $100 each. The NFTs are not cheap.
Yeah, that is a whole thing. If you notice who's like doing the NFT thing, it's all, I'm sorry I cut you off by the way, Coors, oh my god. But it's all like celebrities. Like it's Paris Hilton and Jimmy Fallon are the big two that have been talking about it lately on Jimmy Fallon's show. It's people who have money already or people who are willing to like get money to throw it away. Like take out a loan to throw that away. Investment, quote unquote. Poor people, and there are a lot of poor gamers. Like, we like to pretend there's not, but there are a shit ton of poor people who play video games. Poor people don't buy into that shit.
There's a lot of rich gamers.
That is true.
I mean, there's whales. There have been whales. There will be whales. And, I mean, that's why this will probably work and become a part of gaming, as you say. I'm not being cynical or funny here. It's just it will probably,
and it sucks. I wish you weren't, but you are probably right. And you've worked in the industry before, yeah.
To be fair, I'm fine with NFTs hanging around because it's just rich people paying other rich people to buy nothing, which is exactly what all money laundering schemes are. It's just rich people giving rich people money.
See, like, the only, like, I would be fine with it if it was just that, but it's, like, the environmental impact and all that that bothers me. Because I don't care about rich people getting scammed. Like I said, you know, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. It's kind of funny. I do care that, like, one of these things is, like, astronomically, like, causing damage. Like, it's ridiculous. It's like, what? Like, how the hell does a link cause this much environmental damage? And yet it does, and that's my problem with it. The blockchain.
I mentioned Ubisoft Quartz earlier, and while I was reading up about it, there's an infographic about Ubisoft Quartz that they released back in December. One Ubisoft Quartz transaction powered by Tezos blockchain consumes 1 million times less than a Bitcoin transaction. 1 million times less what?
Yeah, just in general, that makes me go, how much is Bitcoin using too? Because like, I already know NFTs are bad, you know? So yeah, to just double 1 million times less, I'm like, get rid of the whole fucking like economy on the internet. Fuck that. That's not worth it. Like, this is real life we got to deal with. Like, keep your real money. Well, what the fuck? Digital wallets and all that. I feel like I'm old. Like, this can't be happening. Like, what the fuck?
What about you? Major...
The problem with the gaming NFTs is not just publishers and developers that are buying into it. I had an email last week about this thing called Pavilion Hub. This press release goes on and on and on. You can play games using our launcher, and you can get in-game items, and the ecosystem empowers users to earn rewards through the Kudos monetization application simply by keeping Pavilion Hub open while not playing games. Blah, 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 Pavilion Hub, Pavilion Hub. The very last sentence of the entire press release is, to learn more about Pavilion Miner and get involved, click here.
Oh my god, Pavilion Hub.
Miner. Yeah.
Oh my god. Like, that's why they want you to keep it on all the time. I figured when you said that, I was like, this is going to be one of those. But then it actually was, and I'm like, oh, that's horrible.
They clearly forgot to change one miner into hub, because the word miner does not appear anywhere else in this press release.
That I'm glad it ended up in that press release, because at least then you could be like, hey, look at this shit. Like, they said it, not you.
Yeah, when you mentioned Lever, even when you're not playing games, I was like, huh, like a Bitcoin miner.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. And then I was scrolling through the press release and noticed the word miner. I was like, ah, of course. Of course you'd call it that, because you're idiots.
This is the crazy year we live in. Three multi-billion Well, I mean, it's been kind of crazy for the last like 3 years, but you know, it's getting crazier. Activision Blizzard,
yeah,
and then just NFTs. I don't know what's next, honestly. Oh, aliens?
Breaking news. Oh. I've just received an email. Team 17 to end MetaWorms NFT project.
Oh my gosh. Oh.
Breaking news.
Live. Oh. They heard us. They were listening on a podcast.
No, they can't do that.
Team 17 is today announcing an end today, one day later, an end to the MetaWorms NFT project. We have listened to our Teamsters, development partners, and our games communities, and the concerns they've expressed, and have therefore taken the decision to step back from the NFT space. End of press release.
It's a conspiracy. Well,
that was fast. I know, it's like, did they do this just to get the attention?
Do they now have whiplash from...
I think it's also odd that it was like Worms in the first place, because like, I mean, I don't know, Jack, about these NFT people, but like, who the fuck cares about Worms?
Well, like, Team 17's most famous game series is the
franchise. To get, like, fucking, like, I don't think anyone, like, who the hell would buy a Worms NFT?
I'd buy some Worms stickers to stick on things, but I'm not going to pay for
the original NFT, a sticker. You can't copy and paste the sticker, mate.
You know, you're not wrong.
You can't right-click and save as a sticker.
And on that, I think we've reached the end of our podcast. Thanks for joining me, Arturo, Gauze, Payslips, and Prince.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And thank you for listening to the Greencast, and better yet, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGreen.com, finding us on social media, or listening to the Pals Anime Lounge podcast. And until next time, game on.